Hello, welcome back, everybody, to another year of the Sunday Podcast.
I'm Ollie Lum.
And I'm Matt Seddon.
Back in 2025 for our fifth season. You can expect more of this.
He's claiming that he was ill before the semifinal, whatever. But, you know, I just feel like at that point he was just looking for attention.
And some of this.
And you normally say no human is limited. So I can't limit myself, or I can't just say I can do.
As well as event coverage around all the major races on the UK circuit.
And if you're a fan of the pod, please give us a rating and review on your preferred podcast streaming service.
And if you want to stay up to date with all the latest news, give us a follow on Instagram at Sunday Podcast.
As always, thanks for listening. See you next time. And we hope you enjoyed the episode.
Okay, welcome back to another weekend roundup and a few bits to get through from the weekend. But mainly, mate, bit of previewing today. Bucks Cross coming up and a few indoor races as well.
Yeah, big one on the weekend with Bucks. So we'll preview that best we can. I'll try to be as unbiased as possible. But yeah, let's quickly just wrap up weekend Southern Cross. Couple races went down as well, and then we've got a few to look forward to indoors this weekend as well, because it's New Balance Indoor Grand Prix, where I just glanced at the start list, they look phenomenal, so that's going to be a great meet on Sunday. But yeah, so should we start with the Southerns? Obviously, you know, we probably know a little bit more when it comes to the Southerns, but on the men's side, you know, Abdi Nasir Elmi continues to impress, and I think he's going to be at the National Cross as well. I think he's certainly eligible, so it looks like he might be the man to beat come National Cross, because he put a minute on one of our best cross country runners, especially as the courses get that little bit longer, that little bit harder, you know, sort of muddier, hillier, etc. And you know, he, like I said, put a minute on Kingston, and Kingston is that Beckenham course at the South England's. He's had a lot of success with. He's bloody good on it, and so it was quite impressive.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. Absolutely, I think. It's weird, Kingston, almost, you just forget that the guy is so young. Like, he's one
still
of those
very
classic
young.
Like, yeah, classic kind of older cross country runners, like good cross country head on him, like seems experienced, loves the mud, is very technical as well. And then you think, we've probably got another potentially 12 years of him in terms of like running on those kind of national courses, which is crazy to see. Over on the women's side of the Southerns, obviously Meg Gatsby took the win as well, so great run from her there, and she's been flying over the cross all season.
Yeah, she has. Obviously ran really well at Liverpool, got a GB vest, and so I think you look at someone like her and the very fact that she's lined up for the Southerns, I think starting to indicate we're starting to, I think national cross entries close today, so we should know by sort of tomorrow, Thursday, who's going to be lining up at National Cross, which I think is obviously exciting. But you're starting to see front runners who will be aiming for it and looking to really compete in the capital at the end of Feb. I think it's going to be absolutely mega. And, you know, it's always one of our best national crosses. Whenever it comes to Party Hill, it's a proper party. So, yeah, she was very well, mate. Got to give credit to Naomi Kingston as well. Just 10 seconds behind her, strong run. So we're getting her cross season sort of back underway and moving well. So another athlete who's going to be up there come National Cross.
Yeah, and you mentioned obviously the National. I think everyone who's competed this weekend, so are at the Welsh, Southerns, Midlands, sorry, not the Welsh, the Midlands, Northern, the Southerns anyway, you'll expect them to be at the National, right? Because it doesn't really make sense to run the Southerns or to run the Northerns and then not do it in a way, because you're not then going to go indoors or anything. So yeah, unless it's purely because it's kind of a local thing and just because of ease, I think most of these top athletes will be at the national champs. But let's go over to those Midlands, mate. And Livy Matthias took the win, the triathlete, obviously, over the Midlands. And Gemma Steele got second. So she's still kicking around and getting on those podiums.
I think all three, when you go to Northerns as well, like Lauren Hayes, you know, taking a win there, all of these women, are going to be right up there come National Cross. And you're dead right. It's good to see that people are still taking it seriously. Obviously, we know that, you know, perhaps the depth isn't there. I mean, we're just talking about the kind of winners/medalists. And I guess at the regional championship, the depth does filter off pretty quickly. Like once you get, you know, even towards, you know, dare I say it, sort of outside the top 10, compared to when you get the national, I think you always get a lot more wild cards do the national who maybe won't do their regional champs.
Yeah, for sure, mate. And I think it's understandable in a way. There's so many races on the calendar,
mate,
at the moment.
And there is. Yeah.
Splitting it up into regions, you're always going to get that, because imagine all these people raced in the same race on the weekend. Say it was one cross challenge.
Mate, it's...
all of these athletes together. So,
yeah, you're bang. I mean, as well. Like, we've got Bucks this weekend, and I think for, especially for some of the guys, to go do 15K around Beckenham, which is a pretty demanding course, it's quite firm and it's obviously quite hilly, and then to bounce back off of that the following weekend and compete at Bucks is just, you know, you're just not going to be at your best. And I think that probably goes, you know, I know the Northerns is 12K, and, you know, probably goes for all the other Midlands, Northerns as well, because all the other courses are very demanding. So I think you almost lose at these regional championships at the moment. You do lose that university age group when it's so tight of turnaround to Bucks.
And even if it wasn't with Bucks, I think that the distance does put a lot of people in that age bracket off. Like, you're 18 to
tough
22 year olds, maybe not really started doing like super high mileage yet, perhaps, or have just been used to coming from 6K cross previously, right? It is a big step up, particularly to that 15K. Just a few more results to wrap up, I guess. You mentioned obviously Lauren Hayes on the women's side, Angus McMillan, again, someone who's had a fabulous cross country season the past couple of years, really. Wins the Northern title, and then the men's first and second in the Midlands was Kadir Omar and Omar Ahmed. So we often see those two racing on the road together quite a lot as well, but good to see them out on a cross. So yeah, I think pretty solid in terms of winners, right? Like the winners are really strong, but like you say, mate, I think it's fair to say outside of the top 10 you do lack some of the depth that you see in some of the other big meets.
Yeah, I think, you know, most people agree. And then just on the distance at the Southern, it's a tricky one because obviously, you know, that 15K is very historic. But you are right, it is a big step up. And I always think there's only about five guys who are actually racing, who are fit enough to actually race 15K. And that's not me being disrespectful, but it's one of the races, because it's so long and it's so demanding, it's just about really just finding a rhythm and just kind of getting around the distance almost. And so when it comes to sort of, you know, most cross races, you might go in with a bit of a goal, bit of a tactic, where things are going to kick on, where you're going to be particularly strong and stuff. And it's very hard to do that on a race that is that long. Like, the fitness required to race for 45 minutes over that sort of terrain is, you know, you've got to be pretty elite in order to actually go in with that mindset. So I think that, but it is a great experience and a great race for everyone. And it is a challenge in that sense. It's more of a survival, especially when it can get, you know, when it's been at Parley Hill in previous years, it can get really muddy and they're running up towards 50 minutes. It is a bit more of a survival race than like a pure kind of real kind of head-to-head battle. I think the only people who are in that sort of frame of mind are those right up front.
Yeah, you compare that to obviously the Welsh champs at Pembrey, where Dewi Griffiths took the win on the men's side, Lauren Cooper on the women's. And Pembrey is an absolutely lovely course for anyone who's done that. I mean, we'll be talking about Bucks, which is obviously over in Wales, but not at Pembrey. And I think, yeah, that's a great course. So you talk about these kind of area champs, and there is a big difference between them, depending on where you're from and what you're picking and choosing in terms of what's coming up next. I just had a thought, really, kind of seems a bit strange that the Welsh champs is on the same day as the area champs, but then they don't really open the national up to the Welsh athletes, really. Could they just make that a British thing then, if they're having the Welsh champs on the same day as the area champs? I don't know.
Yeah, do you know what? I think it's probably a better thing for them to do that, actually. I think when it's the same weekend as the English national, I think it can get overlooked a little bit. But then again, I mean, with three regional races, it probably got a little bit overlooked this weekend just gone. It's tricky. But I think on the ruling, I'm not 100%. I think some Welsh people can go run in the English national, for, you know, yeah. But if they're a member of an English club, I think it's possible.
Yeah, I think it's a bit of a grey area, isn't it? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know the exact ruling, but, you know.
More in the know than us, right?
But let's say you did do
it. Ask Mark Oakway, he'll know.
Yeah, he will. But let's say you did you're from Bristol and West, right? And you're Welsh, and you go do the Welsh champs, whatever. But you actually run for Bristol and West. I think you could probably do the English national.
Yeah.
So I think we might see a few of those. You won't see Derek Griffiths, but I think there could be a scenario where that happens. But yeah, good running, Derek Griffiths, Lauren Cooper, taking the wins out there, mate. Let's get to it. The main point of this podcast was to preview Bucks Cross this weekend, talking about Wales. It's in Cardiff. When was it last in Cardiff? It was maybe 2010. 20 is like pictures of Andy Vernon, Ross Murray. This is going back in the snow.
I think 2012, mate. I want to say 2012. But
2012 even. Okay, so like, geez. Yeah, peak. Geez, Olympic year. Cardiff.
No, 2011, I'm pretty sure.
2011.
Yeah.
But anyway, the course is the old cross challenge course, basically. I think there's a few subtle differences to the cross challenge, but it's pretty much how it used to be. So if you remember that, I think they moved the cross challenge from there in about 2016.
Yeah, we used the cross, didn't we, mate?
Yeah, the cross challenge for us used to be our trial for Bucks. And oh my God, I remember it can get so boggy, that field. And so anyone heading there, I mean, those in Cardiff will know, but it's just a real energy sapping terrain. It looks fine, like it looks like just a load of footy pitches, but it can just get so boggy and so sapping. I just remember it cutting up like every year, it just being torture. But maybe I've got bad memories, maybe I was unfit at the time, maybe I'm overhyping the mud, but although it's flat and you think this is going to be electric, I think it is, it's a tricky course, and it is a strongman's course in that sense, because I think there's a lot of areas where it can get very cut up.
Yeah, and not just cut up, but pretty technical as well. Because when you go through the kind of wooded sections, there's some bits that are really narrow. So I wonder how they're going to do that. Because Bucks is obviously, particularly that they call it the short course now, those B races traditionally are kind of packed.
All the races are packed, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah, but they're absolutely packed. And I think like a lot more than a cross challenge would have used to been. And I think they're going to have to be careful, but there'll be a lot of tree roots around there in and amongst some bog. Be careful for anyone running. But yeah, I think it's great for spectators in that you can like get around the course pretty easily. There's a nice big path that runs right through the middle of it. So you're not necessarily having to be running around a field as well, which is for some people I know is a bit of a pain.
Mate, it's going to be absolutely epic for spectators. Not only that, you know, those who have been to Butte Park, it's just in it's in the city center, basically. So you just think about the amount of, you know, passerbyers. I mean, parkrun would have just bloody cleared off. So you'll have all the parkrun stragglers watching the first race. It's just going to be fair, I might even do parkrun on Saturday morning, see what time I can get to Cardiff. But yeah, so I think it's just, you talk about the atmosphere and stuff and the crowd. Yeah, it's going to be so easy to just view as much as possible, get across one side of the field to the other. It's in quite a condensed area. So I think it's on to an absolute winner there for a start. And I think Wales have always, I mean, it was in Pembrey a few years ago. They nailed it there. We know the Cardiff Cross Challenge is arguably one of the coolest courses in the UK and one of the best cross-country races in the UK. And, you know, so the organisation do nail it when it comes to sort of races in Cardiff. So hats off to them. Let's get into the race a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. And well, we were speaking just before we started, aren't we? Like, we're really looking at that Birmingham men's team. Obviously, had Dean Miller on not that long ago, and that's the one where you think, can anyone touch Birmingham? Are they're becoming a bit of an NAU of the British uni scene? But Matt's got big plans for his Oxford boys as well.
I have to keep a low profile this week. Yeah. No, I guess it would be a bit hypocritical of me to not talk too much, you know, about Oxford, because when we get guests on, I want them to open up and talk. And obviously, I have the inside info on my team. So I think, yeah, it's, I guess
we've come watching, mate. You guys medaled last year, right?
We got second last year.
Yeah.
Loughborough and Cambridge were joint points in third.
Talk about yourself then, you know?
Yeah. I think it's fair to say, it's definitely we are contenders. I think with that Birmingham men's team, they've got Tamer and they've got Ollie Smart, who I think can easily get overlooked. The course was really, really, I mean, Birmingham went 1-2-3 last year. Barney won it, obviously, but Tamer and Ollie Smart were 2-3. You know, and so they've basically got the top two returners back in their team. And I think, you know, because it's only four to score, you get a few low sticks and it makes, you know, it carries you quite a long way. So I would say, you know, they're still favourites, but you know, yeah, the boys were second last year, and every single athlete is better than last year, and we've got new faces in the team as well who are also better than the athletes of last year. So I can confidently say our team is much stronger than last year.
Mate, I'm interested to know as well from you, like, how much are you kind of thinking about who's going to finish where and then that team aspect? Because obviously we know in the US that it's a massive thing, and I think in the UK, the athletes start to talk about it a little bit, but it's always seemed to me that as much as Bucks Cross out of any cross country race in the UK is the most team orientated, it still is a bit of an individual individual thing. I don't know if that's just my perception.
I disagree. I think, the way we approached it last year and definitely this year as well is just massive team focus. We've been building towards this for a long time now. And because I think at the end of the day, you know, the team does win, and it's where, for a team like us, it's where we can get our third and fourth man. Like, can they be right up there? Because you just know that, you know, some universities do have, you know, the likes of Temer who can, you know, basically challenge for the win. And that's a ridiculously low stick. So it's just looking at those kind of, third and fourth scorers, basically. And running to pack, it's always difficult at Bucks as well, because you just think you do always get some who have some incredible performances come out of nowhere, and you do get some people who have potentially, like, they've Bucks is not on their, I guess it might not be an A goal for them. When you talk individually, I think that's what you're alluding to, the fact that there will be individuals on certain teams that won't have Bucks as an A goal. They might be doing Bucks indoors, let's say, and looking to try and medal their win there. And you know, peaking over 3K on the men's race is 10.8K or something. So it's quite a long way further. So I think that's what you might be sort of alluding to. We don't have that, which is good.
Yeah, and for me, it's almost one or the other with Bucks. You got the guys and girls who, since, I don't know, July maybe, they start thinking, oh, I'm third year now, I think I could like medal at Bucks or like get a top 10. And then when they come back in September, they're absolutely flying and they're like, right, I'm basically Bucks cross, that's my winter. And then you got the others who are like, obviously they're decent runners and they're like, oh well, I want to do Bucks cross because it's a great night out and I can have a good run. And they're obviously going to take it seriously when they're there, but like you say, they've got Bucks indoors on their mind, or even Bucks outdoors, where they're sort of like, well, yeah, if I'm in the A team, I'm in the A team. If I might be in the B team, and that's okay too, sort of thing. And I do think there's a bit of a divide there, and that's where, like you say, you get some of these crazy results, and it's someone who's really targeted Bucks, and they've just said, look, that's what I'm going to do. And you talk about Temer, obviously, he's won Liverpool, right? His best cross country runner in the UK, but it's a different story trying to bring that type of performance at Bucks. For someone like him, you'd argue, having done what he's done now.
Completely different build up as well, right? You know, Liverpool cross, people are away on altitude stints back end of the summer. They've had a whole track season to kind of really get their legs turning over, a little break, freshen up, altitude, get the volume in. You know, I think they go into the Liverpool cross with a different approach to probably how they're heading into Bucks. He didn't do a 3,000 indoors before Liverpool cross, for example. But maybe he is doing a very similar build. So, but yeah, I think you're right there. Let's get into the teams a little bit. Like I said, I think it is fair to say Oxford men, you know, I touch wood that we have a great day, and we can really push Birmingham close, and Loughborough and St. Mary's and Cambridge, because all of those teams are very, very strong. Loughborough have a strong team. I think they are definitely dark horses. St. Mary's are also a couple of dark horses. They've had a few lads run for England recently, and Frank McGrath, you know, Irishman, studying over at St. Mary's as well. He's very strong. And then, of course, you know, Cambridge, who came close, very, very close last year. So I think this is just on the men's side. I really do think those medals are going to just depend how, if people just reach their potential on the day, basically. And I think the course has a lot to answer for, depending on how that, of course, the men's race, you've got 1,500, 2,000 people run around that course before those men, and it's a 5-lap course. It's like, you know, one of these very much like a little European, you know, cross race, and even 5 laps of, even if it was just a men's race of 300-400 people, it's gonna cut up. Like, the conditions, it's been wet the last, you know, week. I can't imagine it's going to dry out too quickly. So I think that
it's been terrible here, mate, the weather, to be honest. So it's gonna be absolutely stinky.
That will play a factor for sure. So tactics and stuff, it's gonna be I just can't wait. I don't want to say too much. We'll maybe have a big breakdown the week after. But do you want me to run through some names, mate, or should we just move on to the women's?
The only other name I was going to really mention, obviously there's so many people in there that is
actual people racing.
I do just want to mention Dav Jones. Obviously,
mate, he's not entered. I don't think so. I went to, so I looked at him and I was like, this guy, Dav Jones, he's super talented. He's on home soil. Obviously, it's in Cardiff. He would have been lapping up this course all winter. I haven't seen much from him, and I'm just going to scan the entries again. I don't think he's entered, mate. Oh, sorry. Wow. He is entered.
Yes. Shit, there you go. Him. There we go. There we go.
I don't know where I got that story from. But yeah.
You're about to start. You're starting rumors, mate.
No, sorry, mate. Sorry. So he's entered, but let me just go on the Cardiff Uni, because Cardiff Uni announced their team.
I'm sure, yeah. Because they enter everyone, don't they? Like, at the start of the year. It's a bit like, you know, and we go through the national entries and there's about 30 people for every team.
So. Yeah, here we go. Cardiff men's A team. Yeah, Dav Jones not on there, mate. So he's obviously injured. Yeah, that's sad. That's why. Sorry, yeah. So he was entered, but he's not on their announced team on Instagram.
Well, there you go. I was going to say I think he's in with a shout on home soil, but
yeah,
apparently not. So I guess the other Cardiff Uni or Cardiff Met lads will have to show up instead.
Yeah, they will. They're going to get big support, to be fair. Loughborough's team, just quick. Lewis Small running very, very well. Very good on the cross. Very good under muddy conditions. Yeah, I don't know heaps about Loughborough and their team, but I do think that he's probably their lead man, especially, you know, on kind of his last 12 months. I mean, he was sixth last year. The course was brutal. And I think he's going to be right up there this year, potentially challenging for an individual medal, to be honest. They got Flynn Jennings, Jake Stevens, Romy Lingram as well. He's going to face off against his brother in the opposite colours. His brother, Quinn, will be running for Birmingham in their A team. So those two will go for a head-to-head. They actually got, they always have quite a good battle, actually. They're pretty much even though Ryan's a little bit older. So yeah, that's kind of Loughborough's team, Birmingham's team. I mentioned Frank McGrath on St. Mary's. He seems to be their lead man. So yeah. And I'm sure many people will be discovered during the race itself, as they always are. Like you say, you always get those kind of people who have been running well and just go for a real ballsy performance, get themselves up there. And the atmosphere and everything just means they just punch way above their weight. Matt Pickering as well, by the way, for St. Mary's. He actually ran out in Belgium on the weekend and did pretty well in the under 20.
Yeah, for sure, mate. And obviously, you mentioned people kind of going out there having big performances. The beat race is one where you always see a few of those as well. You get a few that might win the B race or get top three in the B race just because they're, I guess, the seventh best guy from a big university or something like that. And they've got a bit of a point to prove. So that's always an interesting one to see. Mate, over on the women's side, are we talking about the same universities being at the top as well, like your usuals, your Birmingham's, your Loughborough's, St. Mary's, Leeds Beckett perhaps?
I really do think so. I think I actually think Cambridge women, if they have all their top two run in Neve, Poppy and B Woods, honestly, I think they could win. I really do. They are, I mean, they're all just incredible cross-country runners. I mean, they're incredible runners, but it's only three to score on the women's side, and all you need is, you know, three inside the top eight or so. You're getting the job done. I look at someone like Neve, and she's going for the overall title. I'll be certain of that. And once you get that low stick, where the other two, and they've always been close to her. I mean, all three of those girls have represented GB in their time. So, you know, even when you compare that to Birmingham's team with the likes of Jess Bailey and Poppy Tank, I mean, yeah, Poppy Tank, you're like, yeah, she should win in theory, I think. But it's, again, it's going to be a tough battle. You know, where is she in her preparations? Where does Buck sit in her goals? How seriously was she, you know, preparing for it and, you know, doing cross country? I think potentially for an athlete like her after Liverpool, after the sort of Christmas period, there's a shift to the road, there's a shift to the track.
Well, I think for some of these athletes, right, it is a... Not that they have to do it. Well, I guess they do have to do it, but based on depending on the support that the university gives them for sport, they potentially have to do a Bucks competition.
Yeah.
Despite being an elite athlete, say. So for some of these athletes, it might be that cross is the one that interferes the least, right, with your main season in terms of it's in February, and it's not indoors interfering, or it's not outdoors potentially interfering with the start of your track season, or like you say, an altitude camp. So you will get some of these kind of your senior pros, if you like, doing it for that reason. Not to say they're not going to have good performances, but it is a very different motivation for performing, right?
Yeah, that's Loughborough as well, isn't it?
So
you're right there. Just trying to find Birmingham's tip. Why do they have so many Instagram accounts, that university? It's just a bloody nightmare.
And this is where, right, and we can speak about this now as well. I think it's great that Instagram has made it so easy for individual clubs, individual teams to post their own stuff, right? Why do Bucks, right? Why do Bucks not post the teams themselves?
Mate, Bucks should be...
For all sports.
Yeah. Bucks should be announcing every athlete, you know, the big hitters, the returners. There should be articles. Yeah, we could moan about Bucks all day long as an organization, but just it'd be going one ear and out the other. Man, I'm conscious we're not previewing as much as we could. So back to this women's race. I mentioned, obviously, Cambridge, I think, being potentially team favourites if they have all three of those runners do it. Jess Bailey for Birmingham. Obviously, I am super intrigued to see how she does on a longer cross. We know she's one of the best over 5,000 metres. We know she's a super talent. However, this women's race is 8K, and it's 8K and boggy mud. And you know, and I think for a lot of under 20s, because Bucks obviously has that mix, it has a lot of under 20s who are just been racing 4, 5, 6K. And you know, for the women, it's a step up to 8K. It's another 2 miles compared to most of their races. And for the men, you know, it's 10.8K, and it can be another sort of 2.5, possibly 3 miles for some of the races that they've done. So I'm always intrigued to see how those younger athletes will do and how they're fair. I'm sure they've been training for it, but it's very different. And it's just a longer time on feet as well, because when these courses are slow, which it probably will be, you know, that 10K race, you're getting 35, you know, over 10K, you're getting, well, you're not going to run a 30-minute 10K. So you're already looking at sort of 33, 34 on the front end. So, you know, you've got to start preparing for a sort of 36, 37 minute race, and it's bloody hard.
Yeah, which, like you say, even if you've been training for it, like, unless you've done some races of that type, nothing is the same, because you might be training like physically, but none of them are used to running that slow as well. Like, how often in training are they actually running that slow? They're either jogging or they're running way quicker.
My thing is,
you know, university athletes, they're absolutely linging all their sessions.
Mate, no. Yeah. But my thing is, as well, cross country is so hard to replicate the conditions. And like, where are you going to be able to train? Like, you talk about running at that pace. Yeah. Let's say you could be 10 seconds a mile, 15 seconds a mile slower than your 10K if you were on the road, right? Let's cross. Maybe more in some cases. But yeah, when are you running at that speed on a boggy, you know, soft surface? And that's the tricky thing. To replicate those conditions is very difficult.
Well, yeah,
you have to think outside the box.
Yeah. Even the guys, right, so I've seen like James Thee's been obviously taking the Cardiff guys down to the cross challenge course. I'm pretty sure they train there on a weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that course, like you say, is nothing like it's going to be by the time that men's race comes around. It's absolutely, like, it's obviously muddy, but it is a bit of just a field right now. But as soon as there's been some footfall, it's completely different. The only thing you could do is, say you live next to one of these regional cross-country courses off from the weekend, is you're going down today and you're getting on there, right? Like, you've got to go on after. You've got to find cross-country races after a race has gone down and go train on it afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the, you know, but I think as a coach, you can certainly think outside the box and replicate the feeling. You know, you might not be able to replicate the terrain, but you can get the athletes to experience how they're going to feel, where you just absolutely nail some hard fart legs and some pace change stuff. And that's really going to replicate, you know, the latter stages of that race and kind of coping with that lactic, because it is going to be like running on sand in many regards, where, you know, the harder you try sometimes, the slower you go and the more tired you get. So just another girl I wanted to mention in this women's race is St. Mary's, and because of this, I think they have a very strong team chance as well at gold. And that's Mia Waldman. She is her Liverpool race. She just like picked her way through the field, and as the race went on, she just got stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And it was still only sort of, I think it was 5.6K at Liverpool. Yeah, something like that. No, I think for the under 23s, it was. Yeah, I think. Anyway, and then she went to Eurocross, performed very, very well at Eurocross. Did a 5K New Year's Eve, Battersea, again, very, very strong race. Got within, actually, when you look at like Poppy Tank, got pretty close to her and paced herself very, very well. And it's going to be, you know, it's going to be muddier. It's going to be 8K. It could be. I'm not saying she's going to be going, you know, toe for toe with Poppy Tank, but I think she could be. And the likes of like Neve Britton-Hubbard and Jess Bailey and people like that. So I think Mia Wardman is going to be my dark horse for the actual overall title, to be quite honest with you.
I think, well, I don't mean any of them are going to let Poppy Tank run away with it. Let's put it that way. I think they're going to be there right up until the end, because I don't think it's the sort of race that you can... I don't think Poppy Tank's going to want to just kick on from the start and run solo.
No. So no, it's such a long way. Yeah, you wouldn't.
Always in Berlin.
Yeah. And the way that Mia Wardman likes to run is just a consistent, just clipping off, you know, rhythm. Just gets in a rhythm and nothing stops her. So I think on the women's, it's the same on the men. But I think on the men, there's a clearer break between your kind of 1500 guys and your 5K guys. Whereas on the women's, you can often get really strong 1500 runners perform quite well on cross if the course suits them. But with it being, again, AK, but also with it being very muddy, I mean, I remember Beth Morley, like, you know, the best 1500 runner in the field. I think she finished like sixth or something last year, I want to say. Maybe even a little bit further back than that. Like, it was a good performance, but they can struggle. I think Loughborough have got Jess Spilsbury in there, so I'll be intrigued to see kind of how she does for them as well.
Yeah. That pretty much wraps up that preview for Bucks, and I think we'll have,
I think
obviously the main thing of Bucks is what happens post race, right? It's talking about those stories about the people who've come out of the woodwork, the people we haven't spoken about at all, and that's the exciting thing with athletes of that age.
Yeah, it's an unknown, and I think it is a chance for. I mean, we're not amazing at kind of really following that under sort of, you know, those freshers, those under 20s, you know. And I think this is where they come out and they shine and they show how good they are. But then it's also a chance for the sort of seniors to really dominate and put them in their place. So you get a really nice mix. You are right. There's always some stories that come out of the box. I think one more thing worth noting is Innes Fitzgerald. I was hoping we'd see her for Exeter. Mm. But she's not doing it. And I thought, you know, with it being in Cardiff, you know, it's kind of in the southwest there. And I thought, you know, first year, go get a Bucks title. But it looks like, you know, her eggs are very much in the indoor basket, chasing that European standard. Just like from what I've heard, people like Will Barnico. And it's kind of fair. He's won it before. But Innes hasn't. And I thought, you know, she's at the age where, you know, Bucks is a really exciting race for her. You know, although she's been a great junior, there's still things to do. So I was surprised, and it would have been a great head-to-head with her and Jess Bailey. I feel like they're starting to avoid each other a little bit. Maybe that's just me sort of building stories here.
We might see her at Bucks indoors, depending on how her next few races go in terms of targeting that Europeans. Like there's potential there for her to get some racing under her legs. So like a couple rounds there. So
good shout.
Might be one we see there, and like you say, mate, she is still first year, so she's got plenty of time to come and do.
But the thing,
and
do the thing is as well, like for Exeter Uni, it is only 3 to score on the women's side. It's potentially like a big opportunity for them to, if you've got Innes who goes and wins, you could sneak a medal, or you know, or you could get depending on who your second and third runners are, you know, a fourth or fifth. So it's maybe a bit of a missed opportunity, but maybe they'll work on that over the next few years. And obviously, Innes is, again, individually driven, I guess rightly so, given her credentials. But yeah, so that's Bucks. It should be a great weekend. Very much looking forward to it. See you all there. I've probably made a few haters from what I've said. Can't really remember. We rambled.
Not at all, mate. I think I was just thinking to myself, it's a good job we didn't do this podcast and we were in university, because I think... we'd have had, yeah, a fair few things
we're
to say.
We're too political now, you know. Yeah.
I almost wish we had, but yeah.
We have toyed with the idea of a pure uncut version. Make it a real premium podcast and we can speak some of our truths.
Yeah. One day. But, mate, let's get into the indoors, because, yeah, this weekend roundup is approaching 40 minutes. And I think fabulous opportunity for fast times on Sunday over at New Balance, and it is in Boston, but it's not your Boston University track. But we know that New Balance track, that purpose built facility, is absolutely rapid as well. And I think with the fields we have, we're gonna see some fast times. And mate, I don't know about you, but the women's 3K is absolutely stacked. The all the races are stacked.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's potentially the one where they run the most standards.
Yeah, Yeah, 100%. I mean, yeah, you mentioned this track, obviously, in Boston. It's a week before. Millrose Games is the following weekend, people. So we have got a really, really strong, a week or 2 weeks of indoors. And then, obviously, we've got the Keighley Classic after that. So this basically is the start of, for me, it's like the official start of the indoor season. We're going to have a Boston in between that. We're going to have Jakob going for a world record and leaving in between that as well. But yeah, the women's 3000, Georgia Bell. I mean, Emma Coben is past it, but you've got Georgia Bell, Jess Hull in there, Parker Valby as well. And you just think those three names, get a good pacemaker. How fast can Ailey's Cranny's in there as well? How fast can they go? And then a few others who you think will be on that train, but I would be surprised if they go and, go and win or challenge for those top two spots, top three spots. You've got Hannah Nuttall in there who just needs to get on that train and just run up. I mean, rumors she's very, very fit right now and she'll be going for these world qualifying times, boxing them off. Parker Valby, but yeah, Cinta Vissa, of Italy. You got Melissa Courtney Bryant as well, Danny Jones, Sarah Healy, who obviously trains in that M11 track club, Emily Mackay. So you've got a very, very deep field. And so it does, yeah, that's bidding to be almost the race of the day.
Yeah, I just think, like, if they can all, like you say, get on a pacer and get after it, they're all going to run, well, all the Europeans are going to run a European standard. And and then it's over to the trials. Like, particularly, we got three Brits in there, and I would not be surprised if all three of them come away with a standard.
I mean, 8.48, they're going to walk that. So it's now you're looking to the world indoor standard, which is 8.33. And you're thinking, yeah, how close can they get to that? By the way, 8.33 indoors, and they have the equivalent for the 5K for the women, 14.25. Mad. Like, that's ridiculous. It's like the men. 7.31 is the world indoor standard. 12.45 is the equivalent for the 5K. Maybe they are about the same, actually. I just feel like those 5Ks are way harder. But yeah, so 8.33. And I think, Melissa Courtney Bryant is going to have a good shot at that. Hannah Nuttall, I mean, if she goes and breaks 8.40, that would be huge. But yeah, Georgia Bell, I think, will have one eye on that as well. Can she get that world indoor qualifying mark ticked off? Yeah. Jess Hull's going to do it. I mean, when they start talking about breaking or getting to low 8.30 and breaking, what is the world record? Is it like 8.20?
I think it's high 8.20. Is it like 8.27? I don't think it's much quicker than that.
I think it's quicker. I've seen, I'm just going to have to Google this now. I've seen DeBarber. I think I saw DeBarber run 8.16 in Birmingham one time. Or was that the two?
I'm talking out my ass, aren't I?
Mate, I remember watching it. Yeah, the world record for the women's indoor 3000, 8.16.60, set by Genzebi DeBarber, 2014. I was there. It was in Birmingham. I'm sure many of you were as well. One of the few world records I've witnessed, David Rudisha being the pinnacle. To be fair, I was just thinking if they get in the 20s, they might have a chance at the indoor world record, but no chance.
Yeah, nowhere near that. Yeah.
So, women's 2000. Mate, men's 1500. I feel a bit sorry for Westy because I feel like he's in, not the wrong race again, but at 1500, I think he could have gone really quick, but he's in the 3000. 3000 is still great.
Yeah, you say that, mate.
Not quite stacked as the 1500, though.
No, but I think Westy has like he needs to close that 1500 meter chapter in order to kick on in the 5. And yeah, he could run a quick time, but he's not gonna set the world alight, right? Whereas a 3K and a potential to go to a championship is what could really kick him on to then make that Tokyo team over 5K in the summer. So I think it's still the right race to be in,
And yeah,
it's not like that 3K is not stacked.
No, yeah, the 3K is. Let's just brief you all on the 3K. Andrew Koskeren, obviously 3:31, 1500 guy. Neil Gawley's in there, very, very strong. Hobbs Kessler, Cam Myers, 3:52 mile the other day, or 3:53 mile, under 20 world record. Indoors, Sam Tanner, James West, Charles Philibert, Debu, and he's obviously a Canadian guy. He's very good over sort of 1500 and 5000, and Sebastian Fraser. It is a good field in that men's 3000 and probably good enough. But when you're thinking, the 7:43, I mean, Westy's, and Gawley should easily tick off. 7:31, I don't know about that. But they probably aren't going for that. I mean, I would have thought Westy and stuff just looking to sharpen themselves up for a Boston 5000. On that Boston track and that 5000, there are rumors saying World Athletics are looking into basically making that track, like times that come out of that track, like void.
Yeah.
Potentially like banning Boston times. But I don't know how that would ever. And so there are.
No, you'd have to have some real good evidence.
Evidence. For why. I just don't know how you'd ever do it. You know, I just heard on the grapevine a few elites are just skipping and passing Boston because they are fearful that if they go there and run fast, it won't count come May.
Like unless it's short, right? Unless it's short, I don't think you can ban it. I think banning it for because it's bouncy or because of the curvature, that is then like just dodgy. Like if the track is short, right? If it's 196 meters,
yeah, obviously, yeah.
Fair enough. But yeah,
I don't think you could ever ban it. Yeah. I don't think you could ever ban it because I mean. Go build the same track then. I mean, somewhere else. Yeah, they wouldn't have a leg to stand on, really. Like you said, if they've planned the track to be fast, I mean, hell, that's what they do at the Olympic Games.
Yeah, the whole point.
The whole point of Olympic Games is they have like years to go, right, what surface are we developing here? How tight are our bends going to be? X, Y, and Z. How can we make this track as fast as possible so we see a million world records Olympic Games, which we always do. And so it's the same thing. But I think even World Athletics seem like they might be getting frustrated that everyone's boxing off these times. And it is a result of why these times are getting so bloody fast. Anyway, that's the men's 3000. Men's 1500 stacked. But, stacked with a few endurance guys in there as well. Graham Blanks is doing it. How can he run over 1500? Josh Huey, who just broke that American record in the 1000, he's doing it. You're probably looking like he's going to be the sharpest in the field for sure. So you might be drifting towards him for favorite. Stuart McSwain, Jay Whiteman, can't wait to see him run. Tom Keen in there, Ollie Hoare in there, and Grant Fisher, Vinciati as well. He's a 330 man, isn't he? So, yeah, there's a few others in there as well. But that 1500 again is stacked.
Yeah, I think like you say, mate. I think most people, particularly listening to this podcast, are excited for Jay Whiteman, aren't they? It's how good can Whiteman be early part of this year, having had the time off that he's had previously. Like we've already seen him over the 3000, but if Whiteman's gonna go back to being competitive on the world stage, he needs to be coming out firing. I think
he'll always what is impressive about Whiteman, he doesn't necessarily finish that far down in races. He'll always be up there. He'll be up there competing for 1-2 spot.
I think so.
Supposedly he's had a good camp in South Africa and stuff. He'll be in shape to rip. I think Tom Keane has a good shot at getting the European qualifying standard as well. I think he has a good shot at going to European indoors this year. He's running very, very well.
Yeah, and I think in that race, he doesn't have to worry about anything else other than go for a ride, you know?
Yeah. World indoor standard, by the way, is 333.5. Which, again, someone like Jay White will have to run, and that is pretty quick indoors.
It is, mate, but I think when you factor in the world standards for some of the other events, it's not crazy.
No, 731 is way harder, but it's because, you know, it's the same old bloody story. The 1500, they want 30 people in there, you know, so they can get a few heats done. The 3000, 15. You got to be top 15 in the world, and that's why it's 731. So that's what, you know, that's what makes it difficult, so... But yeah, that's going to be really kick off this indoor season. There is a race tomorrow night, by the way, Wednesday, if you're listening after Wednesday, you would have seen it. But Belgrade Indoor, World Tour Gold, and yeah, there's some good races. There's we're recording on Tuesday, start list nowhere to be seen, just classic. But men's 1500 on, you think it's a gold tour, there's definitely going to be some strong Europeans in there. Women's 800 is there as well, women's 3000 also on. Women's 800 even have a B race. So there are some good distance races tomorrow night. Who's in them? I don't know. You'll find out.
Yeah, we certainly will. And we'll obviously bring you the results for that on Instagram. So make sure you're following us there. But mate, as you said, I think great to have the indoor kind of proper season underway for the pros or getting underway in the next few days, because having a Europeans and a Worlds is such a good opportunity for Brits this year, because you can either aim for the big one, or you've got those athletes coming through, like we mentioned Innes Fitzgerald potentially having an opportunity to run at a European. So I think he's going to put people in great stead for the summer as well.
Yep, 100%. That rounds off the action, mate. We'll be back on the weekend with an episode with a special guest, and obviously we'll be reviewing Bucks as well, and we'll very much be there on the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for listening, guys, and we'll catch you very soon.